What I want to talk to you guys this morning about is maintaining a vision and maintaining a focus on the end result of things. Not just getting caught up in the here and the now and getting caught up in what's happening that takes our attention away from Jesus and attention away from what he's called us to do. We can get so caught up into, you know, like moving. You know, Steph and I just moved last weekend. You know, Pastor Johnny moved this weekend. But you get caught up in all the details. I got to get this unpacked, and I got to get the bed set up, and you got to get the yard raked, and you got all these different things going on. And yet the most important thing is to keep our eyes on Jesus and what he has for us and take that time and to be diligent and to spend that time with him every day. He convicted me. Man, he convicts you. When you want to hear from the Lord, you got to be willing to hear what he's got to say, right? And a few weeks ago, I was praying. I was actually getting ready for bed. And I was thinking about what I had to do, you know. Okay, I got to get this ready for the morning because I teach at NWTC and teach anatomy and physiology. I'm like, okay, I got this in order. And then all of a sudden, it popped in my head. It's like, okay, I gotta get my Bible out and I gotta read and I gotta pray a little bit before I go to bed. And that's good, right? You should always do a little bit of that before you head to bed, right? Kind of end the day on a good note. But then the Lord said to me, he's like, when did I become something you try and squeeze in just before you go to bed? I'm like, oh, that hurts. That hurts, Lord. But that's necessary, right? The word says that if he loves you, he's going to discipline you. If he loves you, he's going to speak to you, and he's going to correct your ways. And I just thank God for correcting that and just putting it upon my heart to make him first in everything that I do, right? You guys ever get caught up in the immediate and you start putting God kind of on the side burner? You ever do that? Just one person. Thank you, Angela, for being honest. God bless you. One honest person in the bunch. It's a good thing you all are here. Oh, but it's so easy to do that. And it's so easy to lose sight of the future, right? How many of you guys think about that on a regular basis? How many of you guys really honestly think about, okay, what's going on 10 years from now? What's going to happen to me 10 years from now? What's going to happen to me 20 years from now? What is my life going to look like when I'm at my retirement stage? I know when you're young, that's the last thing, that's totally the last thing that ever enters your mind. But when you, especially when you get married and when you start having kids, okay, you start thinking about that. You start thinking about that a lot. What am I going to be remembered for? What is my heritage going to be when these young people are growing up? What are people going to remember about me? That I love Jesus with all my heart? That I gave everything to him? Or am I going to be a byword and nobody's ever going to think of, you know, that Gerald guy. Oh, yeah, I remember him. He was really nice. Or he was a good neighbor. Or, you know, I want people to remember, if they remember me, I want people to remember that I gave everything to Jesus. And that I raised up young men that are giving everything to Jesus. How many parents kind of connect with that? Right? When you see your kids, all right, you want your kids to be a heritage. You want them to be a blessing. You want them to be more than what you were. And so often as adults and in our society, what happens is we're so focused on ourselves. And like Bishu was saying, we've got this billboard. And it's all about us. It's all about us. It's all about our own pleasure, our own gratification. That we don't have time to think of the future. We don't have time to think of what our kids are going to be like. You know what I'm saying? And we've got to break that. We've got to break that off. And hopefully today is going to encourage us a little bit. The message is never turning back, Philippians 1:6. If you guys have your Bibles, why don't you guys go ahead and turn there. Otherwise, it should be up on the overheads if you guys don't have your Bibles. Today's family church, and so the kids are with us today in service, and so I'm going to try and include them in the discussion, get them to think a little bit about the Bible, right? How many kids brought your Bibles today? How many kids? Raise your hands if you guys brought your Bibles today. All right, Jenny, you brought your Bible. Good job. Miss Mary's going to be ordering some. All right. Yeah, make sure. All right. Mary's going to look at you guys, and I'm going to ask her to make sure that she remembers to give you points for bringing your Bibles today. Okay? All right? All right, Jalen? You got your Bible? All right, praise God. Well, let's go ahead and read it together with us. Okay? Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. It says, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, may your word just fill our hearts today. May your word just encourage us. May it keep us focused on the end result. Help us, Lord God. Let faith arise in us today. Let faith come forth today. Hope, faith, Lord Jesus, and love and trust in you, because you are faithful to complete the work that you started in us. Not only in us, but before time began. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. And pray, Holy Spirit, that you just give me the words to speak this morning that will bring about your way in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, when we look at this verse, and as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about our kids and thinking about people who maybe just gave their lives to Jesus and are searching for that change. You know, sometimes when you come to Christ, you don't feel completely transformed the day after. How many of you guys kind of realized maybe a week after you were saved, you're like, man, I still cuss, you know? Or you may get angry when people cut you off in traffic. Or the things that triggered you before are still kind of the same things that trigger you now. You ever notice that? Right? But God is faithful to do a good work in us, and he's faithful to complete it onto the day of Jesus Christ. And so we can't get caught up in thinking that just because we haven't realized that it's not done. When God speaks something into existence, it's not just a little bit completed, right? When he called forth creation, he didn't do it just 10%, okay? He didn't call forth completion halfway done. All right, he didn't stick his finger in some goo and say, you know, sooner or later it's going to get there. He said, let it be done, and it was done. Amen? He called forth creation, and it was complete. It was complete. And so when God begins a good work in us, there's a part of us that needs to go through the process of completion. But then God also says that it is completed because he sees us. He sees the end from the beginning. Amen? He sees the end result from where he stands. And he knew you before you were born. And he knew what your life was going to be like. And he called it forth. He called your name forth because he knew what you were going to be like and what you were going to do. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that great? Amen. A few amens. You guys can get excited if you guys want to. Yeah. Now, sometimes we get caught up in the process, right? And so I want to talk about three keys to maintaining this vision, three keys to maintaining our focus, and setting a course that is going to produce fruit, right? Produce fruit in our lives and produce fruit in our families and produce fruit in the people that are around us. Now, how many of you guys are Packers fans? Just a few of you guys, yeah? All right. Wasn't family night last night? Was it? Or is that next week? Yeah, and move it next week? Okay. But they're starting to practice, right? Good job, Angela. Thank you. You go to state? Who knew that there was a state competition for bocce ball? But Angela's going to be there, and so we got to make sure we remember Angela, right? Pray for her, make sure she does good, make sure her team succeeds down there in state. Now, if you guys were Packers fans, way back in the 70s and 80s, you guys knew it was a little struggle, right? How many of you guys were Packers fans way back then? Lynn Dickey and all those guys, all right? Well, if you guys know what I'm talking about, it was a struggle. You really knew if you were a fan or a follower of the Packers during that time, because it was tough. Man, just like Tennessee the last few years, I think, right? Just, right? But hey, knows what I'm talking about. I tell you what, when you're a fan and not a follower, you jump ship and you go root for the Detroit Lions or something like that, right? Ooh, or the Vikings. Man, I'm like meeting Vikings fans lately. I don't know what's going on. Yeah, we pray for them, right? We lay our hands on them. But when you're a follower of Jesus Christ, it doesn't mean that every day is going to be roses, right? It's not going to be easy. So there's going to be some times and periods in your life that you're going to start questioning, that you're going to start doubting. If you look at examples in the Bible is littered with people that we call the fathers of faith. And there are examples that there's times where they struggled. There's times where they needed something extra. They needed an extra word from the Lord. They needed some comfort. They needed some encouragement. And so that's why we're here. That's why we have church. Amen? That's why when you look around the room, you have people around you that can encourage you, that can challenge you. You think of Elijah, right? Elijah. Man, he was one of the greatest prophets of the Bible, and yet he ran scared and hid in a cave for a while. Okay? There's some times, and there's periods in our life where we just kind of doubt what might be happening. We might doubt what God is doing or what God has done, but God is faithful to complete it. Amen? Now, one of the keys to maintaining our vision is to keep our eyes on the end product, to know the end from the beginning. Now, Dean knows this a lot. Dean runs Green Bay Nursery. If you guys need anything, make sure you guys talk to him after service. Taking care of my brother. All right? But I like to think that I'm a gardener. I mean, I'm a farmer. I grew up on a farm, and so I know what farming is like. But gardening is different, right? Especially when it comes to flowers and stuff like that. I have no idea what I'm doing. My wife can attest. She testify. I have no idea. I see something that looks pretty, and I stick it in the ground next to something else. And I'm like, well, of course it's going to be beautiful because, right? Two beautiful things next. It doesn't really work like that, does it, Dean? It doesn't really work like that at all. And so at our old house, my wife would really get mad. I'd come home with a new plant. She's like, where are you sticking that? I'm like, well, I'm going to stick it in the ground. Give it some water, you know? It's going to be beautiful. I need some help. I need professional help, and that's why I'm contacting Dean now that we're moved into our new home. Dean's going to help me, all right? He's going to help me get things situated, and it's going to be beautiful because he knows what he's doing. Okay, he knows what kind of vision to put forth, and he gets it down on writing, and he gets this schematic, and it's amazing. And I'm like, really, that plant looks good there? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, I trust you because you know what you're doing, right? And our lives are like that. Our lives are like that. God knows, Jesus knows the end from the beginning. We can trust in him. We can trust him with the end result. When we plant, you know, as a farmer, you put something in the ground, you have faith, right? You have faith that seed's going to germinate and it's going to produce fruit, right? How many of you guys ever planted before? You guys ever put seeds in the ground before? You guys ever done anything like that? All right, a lot of you guys have. But when you put something into the ground, you have faith that it's going to grow and it's going to produce fruit, or else why would you do it? Okay? Our lives are like that. The Bible describes our lives as seeds, right? We're like the harvest. The harvest is out there. People are like plants. And our heart is like dirt, and we're planting the word of God in our hearts, expecting that someday we're going to see the fruit. How many of you guys like to do construction? You guys build anything, right? I know some of you guys like to do that. I like to build. I like to do all kinds of stuff. I drywall. I do all that kind of stuff. I may not be a master at it, though. Okay. When you're a master at construction, when you're a master, you have every detail laid out from the beginning until the end, even though you haven't even started yet. Okay. You might just be picking the wood, but you can almost see it constructed. You can almost see it put together. And God is like that. And we have to keep that in mind, and we have to have a vision for our lives, for our family's life, and for our church. And that's why we see all these different banners around here. When Pastor Jimmy came, he said, I've got a vision that God has given me for New Freedom Church. It has discipleship in it. It's got evangelism in it. It's got prayer. It's got loving people. It's got worship in it. And when you have a vision in place, it's easy to attach yourself to that, right? It's easy to catch the vision. It says in the Word that without vision, the people perish. And we see that so often in our lives and in the lives of those around us. Amen? You see that? When people don't have a vision for the future, they're just so consumed with what's going on right now. What's their next fix? Okay, what's the next movie coming out? What's on TV next? Right? What are we going to have for dinner? What are we going to have for, you know, just focused on the here and now. They never think about what's going to happen tomorrow or next week or the next month after that. It's amazing. It's amazing. I'm not trying to pick on anyone here. But it's amazing how many people don't have a monthly budget. Okay? We deal with this. I'm a president of the board at Providence Academy, and we have to come up with a yearly budget, right? And when Steph and I got married, we went through this process. Dave Ramsey, have you guys ever heard of that? Dave Ramsey, you know? And we learned how to budget our money. We have a plan for it. And we tell it where to go. Have you guys ever told your money where to go? Get back in my pocket, right? But if you have a plan and you have a vision for it, you don't get to the end of the month and say, man, where did all money go? Is that what I'm saying? Have you guys ever done that? Man, my pocket's empty. Pastor Jimmy, I need some money. Or whoever it might be, rich uncle, you know, mom, dad. But when you have a plan, everything's accounted for. And you're not caught by surprise. Right? You're not caught by surprise when things occur in your life. God knows how to plan. If you look at Micah 5:2, he wasn't caught by surprise when Adam and Eve fell to sin in the Garden of Eden. If you look at Micah chapter 5, verse 2, it says, O Bethlehem, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me, one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. You see, God had a plan, and his plan was Jesus Christ. Even before time began, from ancient days, he had this plan to bring us salvation, to make a way to reconnect us in relationship with him, to wash us and cleanse us from our sins. See, God had a plan even before time began. Isn't that amazing? Doesn't that bring security to your hearts, knowing that God knows what he's doing, that he's got a plan for everything? If we don't keep the vision before us, if we don't keep our eyes on the end product, what God wants to do in us, it's easy for the devil to come in and sow doubt and to sow fear and frustration. Have you guys ever doubted your future? Right? When you think about our society, there's a lot of doubt right now, right, man? A lot of economic doubt, you know? You see these ads pop up all the time on your computer. The dollar is going to fail, right? The dollar is going down. We're all going to lose all our money. Everything's going to be a waste of time. The economy is failing. And yet God knows the end from the beginning. And he made a way for us. He made a way for us as his children. And he's provided a way for the world itself. I mean, he hasn't forgotten everyone. He hasn't forgotten the Muslims. He hasn't forgotten the Hindus. He hasn't forgotten anyone who believes something different. He's made a way for everybody. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died once for all sin. That includes those who haven't accepted him yet. Now, when we don't keep focused forward, when we don't keep focused on Jesus Christ, and we don't keep focused on the cross, we lose hope of the harvest. We get frustrated with all the work that we seem to be doing. We lose patience. Even under the best conditions, it takes months and sometimes even years to see the fruit of your work. Have you guys ever experienced that? Right? You guys have all been through high school. Maybe you guys have been through college, right? You started jobs and different things. It takes time to see the fruit of our labors. And then you throw in distractions. Cars breaking down, kids getting sick, maybe even losing your job. And then things become even more distant. You know, when God called me to be a preacher, to be a pastor, I was 7 or 8 years old. And honestly, it seemed like the craziest thing in the world to be a preacher, to be up here speaking to you guys. And when I was in high school, there's this thing called speech class. You guys ever took speech class in high school? I tell you what, it must be the teacher's way of getting back at all of the rotten students or something like that. Because it was the worst class ever for me. I hated it. Like Sarah was saying, being afraid of coming up in front of everybody. I was like Moses. I was thinking about this morning. I was like, man, I guess if I start stuttering up here, it's can't be any worse than Moses, right? Because Moses stuttered, he stammered, he didn't trust his voice, he didn't trust the things that he said. And I was like that in speech class in high school. I could not speak. I had it right here and I couldn't even read it off. I was so petrified with fear. And to think later on that God wanted me, to be called a preacher and he wanted me to get up in front of people. And even this morning, I think, honestly, I got to be honest, this morning was probably the first time I was ever just totally anxious about getting in front of you guys and preaching. It's just weird. But God is good, amen? And he knows the end from the beginning. He knows and he's got a plan. And so you just got to trust in him. He knows that we're easily distracted, right? We can admit it, right? We're easily distracted. Things happen. There's a game on, all right? Whatever kind of game you guys enjoy, Tennessee or maybe the Brewers or the Packers, something comes up, sounds like a good time, and you kind of let your responsibilities go. Joshua 1:9 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. And there's another one later on that I might share with you guys. But Joshua 1:9, it's just an amazing verse. I'm going to read actually starting in verse 8. Okay, I'm going to start reading verse 8. Even though you have verse 9 up on the board. It's kind of setting the stage. You know, Joshua, if you guys are unfamiliar with the story of Joshua, Joshua was the soon-to-be leader of Israel after Moses were to pass away. Joshua is going to take the controls and lead them into the promised land. How many of you guys would like that job? CEO of warfare and struggles. When you look at this, God is speaking to Joshua and telling him to encourage the people of Israel. Verse 8, it says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to it all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Amen. That's just good. That's just good. You see, he told Joshua to make sure that he kept reminding himself and reminding those around him of how God planned this out and how God planned for the promised land. Now, if you guys know the story, it wasn't a walk in the park. When they were commanded to take the promised land, there was warfare, step-by-step warfare. How many of you guys feel like that day by day, right? Each day is a struggle. Each day is like warfare. Just getting out of bed sometimes is hard to do. But God made a way. But God made a plan. He had a plan. And his plan was Jesus Christ, and his plan was the Holy Spirit. See, we get distracted easily, but if we keep the vision in front of us, the stuff that fights for our attention, all the little notifications that go off on your phone, a little beep beep, a little Facebook message, got a tweet handle, is that what they call it? I'm not even sure. I've never tweeted before. Maybe I should try it. or Twitter handle. But when you look at that, I'm such an old guy, right? Just ancient up here. But when you look at this, I think I'm younger than you, buddy. But when you look at that, there's so much going on. There's so much going on that vies for our attention. But one thing is true. We keep the Word of God in front of us day and night. We keep this in front of us day by day by day. We are sure not to forget what God has called us to do. There's people out here. There's people in your neighborhood. There's friends. There's neighbors. There's relatives. There's family members that need to know the good news of Jesus Christ. And the only way that we are able to maintain our vision is to keep it in front of us all the time. The devil wants nothing more than to steal that seed from your hearts today. He wants nothing more than to get you distracted on the immediate but maybe not as important, right? Those things that are immediate but maybe not that important. And he wants to get us to forget what God has called us to, even though it might take some work, right? So key number two. All right, so the first key is make sure that we maintain that vision in front of us day by day. Key number two is to roll up our sleeves. How many of you guys are interested in rolling up your sleeves and really going at it? Working, getting a little sweaty? All right, nothing wrong with that. We were unpacking and doing some work yesterday, and Sam comes in. He's like, "Dad, you're like a 26-year-old. You work so hard." I'm like, "Hallelujah, brother. Give me some knuckles on that one." I'll take that compliment. But that's something that I want him to learn, right? That's something that you want your kids to learn. You want your kids to learn a good work ethic. And the only way they're going to learn it is by example, right? When you look at your kids and your grandkids, you want them to know Jesus Christ in a relationship. And the only way to do that is to example it day by day. Our kids need relevance, right? They need relevance. They need to know that what we're doing here as Christians is relevant. When they get to that age, 10, 12, 13, 14 years old, they enter into something that we refer to as the logic stage. They start asking why, right? If you got kids who have gone through that stage or in that stage, you guys understand what I'm talking about, right? Why? Why? Do your dishes, why? Go make your bed. Why? Okay? Brush your teeth. Why? You know, everything's why. Why do you do this? Why do you do that? Why do you do this? Why do you do that? And they've got to see the relevance. Okay? You can't just say, "Because I told you so, boy." You can't just say that anymore. You've got to explain it to them. Because they want to understand. They want to know why you do the things that you do. And this is the prime opportunity. This is the time where you start to build into them everything that you want them to understand and to know, because they're like big giant sponges. A lot of times as parents, we feel like they're questioning our authority when they start saying why. It's not about questioning authority. It's about them wanting to understand the reasoning behind it, right? Amen. And it's our opportunity then to start teaching them, When they're younger, they'll just soak all this stuff in. But when they get, you know, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th grade, now you've got to teach them. And they've got to learn the relevance of it. Or else, because the world has a plan. Okay, the world has a plan. The devil's got a plan. He's been planning. He planned a long time before he tempted Adam and Eve. And he's got a plan to steal our kids away. He's got a plan to steal you away if you allow it. And if we're not careful, and if we don't have our own plan in place, and we don't go by the plan that God laid out in the Bible, we're not going to see that heritage passed on from one generation to the next. It takes hard work, though. It takes patience. When you come home from the job, and your kids start asking you why, the last thing you want to do is start explaining things, right? You just want to relax a little bit. Put your feet up, hit the old recliner. Whew. Your wife brings you a nice cup of sweet tea. Amen, brother? Amen? That's right. The last thing you want to do is start explaining things to your kids. But I tell you what, they're only here for a short amount of time. Okay? Sam's 10 years old. It seems like he was born yesterday. I've only got 8 more years to really, you know, put in him all the things that I hope that he'll become. Now, I love working with wood. That's like my passion. And I do I like construction, and I do all that kind of stuff. But my passion is working with wood. I built some the boys' beds. We're going to be building some other furniture for our house and stuff like that. But in the middle of it, you know what you want to get to, and it's almost there. But then you have to do this thing called sanding and finishing. Have you guys ever sanded wood before? Oh, my gosh. Isn't it the most tedious thing ever? You start with 100 grain. You spend like a half hour with 100 grain. You get sheets of stuff everywhere. Then you go to 150. And then you go to 220. And you go to 400. It is tedious. It is tedious work. And there's a lot of times where you get to 150, you're like, man, I think this is smooth enough. Good enough. Done. Get her over with, right? But praise God, I just learned out my wife loves to sand. We're refinishing a desk, and she's like, man, this isn't bad. This is kind of fun. I'm like, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But you get caught up in the doldrums sometimes, right? You get caught up in, it seems like you're never making any progress because 100 to 150 doesn't seem like a whole lot, right? Doesn't seem like it's doing a whole heck of a lot. But again, you got to keep in mind, you got to keep that end product in mind, that finished product, that when people come over and say, man, that's a beautiful bench, or that's a beautiful bed, or that's a beautiful product. Do you do that? You know, not that you're searching for compliments, but it makes a difference. It makes a difference when you take your time and you're patient and you're not afraid of doing the work. Anything worth doing is doing right. Amen? And maintaining a vision takes daily cultivation and daily attention. When God sent Jesus to be the sacrifice for our sins, he didn't take the easy route. You know, appreciate what you said, Bridget, because it just kind of confirmed this. When God sent Jesus Christ, he didn't say, okay, you're going to be a man, and 3 days later you're going to die. Okay, just, you know, get her done with and, right? Just get her done. He sent Jesus as a baby. And that baby had to grow up and go through all the same experiences that we went through. He had to be tempted in every way that we were tempted. Then he had to develop relationships with individuals that he was going to have to leave. How many of you guys could do that? How many of you guys could develop passionate, loving relationships with someone that you know that you're going to leave? And they're going to watch your violent, bloody death. And you're going to expect them to keep carrying the torch after you're gone. Now, how many of us could have done that? But Jesus didn't take the easy route. Jesus went through that process. The Bible says that he endured the cross. He endured the cross. And he suffered the shame because he knew the end product, right? He kept that in his mind. He saw all of us. He saw all of the believers from time when time began up until when he comes back and time ends again. And he saw that finished product and he said, it's going to be worth it. He looked at you and he said, you're worth it. You're worth the process. You're worth the pain. You're worth the sacrifice. As Christians, we may not be expected to go through something like that, but who knows? Maybe we will. Maybe we will. There's Christians that are dying every day overseas. There's Christians that are being persecuted every day, even here in America. Maybe we will be asked to walk through that process. And the only thing that's going to get us through that process is to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, right? Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Amen? Amen. Now, everything that we go through is meant to refine us. It's meant to produce character. You guys ever heard of that before? Character? You guys like character building events? Selling our house was a character-building event. And we had our house on the market for over a year. You know, I was pretty sure that I felt the word from God too. All right, and I know a number of you guys have prayed for us, and we thank you and appreciate your prayers, and we want you guys to come out to our new home to see it. It is going to be a blessing that we can share with you guys. But I was praying about what God wanted to do, and I heard him say in a couple different times, and I wasn't even praying for it. He said, okay, it's time to sell your house. So we put it up for sale. We're like, okay, a couple weeks, you know, maybe a couple days, we're out of here. Over a year later, we're like, Lord, what's happening here, Lord? And there was times I'm like, you know, this is terrible. We're half in boxes, we're half out of boxes. You know, it was hard on the kids, hard on my wife. And I kept coming back to that word about, Lord, was this a true word? Because sometimes you hear things and it may connect with you, but it's more of emotional than it is spiritual. You guys ever had that happen? Where you hear this voice, eat the chocolate cake. And you're like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm eating it all. But you come back to that and you're like, Lord, did I hear your voice? Did I hear your voice? And over and over and over, God just kept saying, just trust me, just trust me, just trust me. And maybe selling our house isn't that great of a spirit, you know, that dramatically spiritual event, but it produced something in us, and that's what counts, right? When you are sanding a piece of furniture, you know, that 150 doesn't really do a whole heck of a lot from what you can see, right? At least initially. But it produces something so that the next step can occur. Does that make sense to you guys? When you go through a character building event, it may not be for the here and now, but it's going to be for the future because God's got a plan. God's got a plan for your future. And we go through certain things, we question why? And yet God's saying, it's for the future. It's for your future because I know what you're going to become. I know what you're going to be like 5, 10, 15 years from now. The person that you meet at the coffee shop is going to need the experience that you have. They're going to need your wisdom. They're going to need your love because they need your help to get through it. And that is going to open the door for you to share about me. God is so good. God is so good. The here, you know, people who always want it here and now, this instantaneous culture that we have produces individuals who have no character. They have no foundation. They have nothing to build upon. How many of you guys like responsibility? It's like, yeah, put me in charge. Or at least give me a job to do, right? How many of you guys appreciate the relationships that you guys have? You know? How many of you guys understand that word integrity? You guys understand the word integrity? What that means? How many of you guys like this one? Conflict resolution. And yet, without working at each of these different things, it never comes to pass. It never happens. Conflict resolution, I tell you what, God has taught me in the last 3 or 4 years that conflict resolution is one of the best things that you could ever learn how to do. All right, Pastor Jimmy, you've talked about this in regards to your marriage and in marriage in general a number of different times. You've got to learn how to fight fair, right? You've got to learn how to fight so that when you get done, you resolve something and both people are changed and transformed by the process. When we have an instantaneous society, responsibility falls to the wayside. Nobody wants to take responsibility. It's always somebody else's fault, right? Oh, it's my mother's fault or my father's fault because they didn't spank me enough. And then the next person's like, well, it's because they spanked me too much, you know? Relationships fall to the wayside because it gets hard. Divorce rates for Christians are over 50%. Why? Why is that? Because when things get tough, we don't know how to roll up our sleeves and work it out. We don't know how to do relationships anymore. People don't understand how to carry on a conversation with each other anymore. Integrity doesn't mean anything. It's only the situational ethics, right? Well, in this situation, if you twisted it this way or that way, it's okay to lie or it's okay to cheat in this situation. No, right? We know that's not real. Situational ethics isn't real. Truth was established by God, and that doesn't change. right? Because he had a plan. He had a plan. Delayed gratification is one of the most important things that we can learn and that we can teach our kids. See, God was patient. God is patient, isn't he? Isn't God patient? Man, God is so patient. With us as individuals, he is so patient. With our world, he is so patient. Nothing good, or nothing worth having comes overnight. And that's why he sends us members of the church. That's why he sends us the Holy Spirit to keep reminding us of that, to keep encouraging one another. That's what the word says, right? Keep encouraging one another, even more so as the day approaches. Key number three, all right, the third thing that we need to fulfill the calling that God has in our lives is know that he who called us is faithful. And he's already given us everything that we need. When God speaks, his yes is yes, right? And his no is no. It is yes and amen. When he speaks, it's already done. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, our sins were forgiven completely. Not just 50% complete, right? You do that on the computer, you download something, 10% complete. Then you wait for another half hour, then 50% complete. You're like, oh, it's taking forever, right? And it's really only a few minutes. Back in the day when computers first came out, it took you an hour to download a computer program. Now it's 5 minutes, and we're like, 5 minutes, come on. But God doesn't do things halfway. He does everything. It is complete from the beginning. Let's look at Isaiah 55:10 real quick. Isaiah 55:10. This is another one of my favorite verses. The book of Isaiah is just littered with wisdom. I had a lady prophesy over me one time that I was going to be like an Isaiah, but I'm not sure what that means. If you know anything about Isaiah's life, he ran naked for 3 years. Like, I don't know if I want that anointing. Yeah, praise God. We got lots of trees around us. Maybe it'll come to pass. Lord, help. Hallelujah. Isaiah 55, 10-11 says, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, God knows the trials that we face because he faced those trials. Jesus Christ, when he came, he was tempted in every way, in every form. Maybe he didn't have Twitter or Facebook, but there was distractions, right? There's distractions. And yet he was able to walk it out. And he calls us to that same thing. He's like, look, I know that you struggle. He knows that we struggle. He knows that we're yearning. There's things in our hearts that we are yearning for that we haven't quite seen accomplished in us or through us yet. But God is faithful. He is faithful to accomplish that which he purposes. Amen. God is good. And sometimes he just says, hey, you just have to go through a little bit yet. Hang in there. Hang in there. Just a little more. You heard that phrase, it's always darkest before the dawn, right? Sometimes it's just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. And that's my prayer for us today. To trust in him. To trust in the process that God has us in. And to know that he is faithful to complete it. In his eyes, it's completed already. We just need to lay a claim to it, right? It needs to come forth in us. He's planted seeds in our hearts, and those seeds are producing great fruit. But we just have to be a little bit more patient. little bit more patient. God is going to do it. God's going to work it out. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. We're going to skip to that one, and then we're going to pray. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. We all have things in our life that we need to trust in God with, whether it's our children, whether it's our family members, our own salvation. There's all things that we need to trust in God for, whether it could be a missions trip. It could be a calling that he has for you. And I want to encourage you today. He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. He's not done yet. He's not done with us yet. Isn't that exciting? He's not done with us yet. No matter what age we are, he is not done with us yet. Hallelujah. He's not done with us yet. We may only be 75% there, 80% there, but he's not done with us yet. God is good. And so to wrap up this morning, I just want you guys to come up. You guys feel a calling on your hearts. Come on up. If God's been speaking to you about certain situations, come on up. Okay, I'm not going to belabor it. We're not going to, you know, sit here for a long time. Just come on up. Come on up. Let's pray for you. I just want to pray for you guys collectively. And just pray that you would remain courageous, that you would remain courageous in your Christian walk. God's not through with you yet. God is not done with you yet. Come on up. If you have trouble maintaining the vision, if you have trouble maintaining your mind, keeping your mind on what God has in store for you 10 years from now, 20 years from now, come on up. Come on up. God is good. God is good. He's got a plan for your life. He's got a plan for your future. He's got a plan for the situation that you're in right now. Come on up. God is good. God is good. If you trust in him with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, he shall direct your paths. We all face those days. We all face those days where we're discouraged, we're full of doubt. We all face those situations when we're distracted, when we're fearful of the future, but God has a plan, and he is faithful to complete it. We may look at our lives and say, you know, I haven't changed. I'm still the same old person that I used to be, but God's not done with you yet. God's not done with you yet. It takes time, it takes effort, and it takes us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Keep our eyes fixed upon him. He is the author and the perfecter of our faith. Father God, you know the end from the beginning. You know the plan and the purpose that you have for our lives, Lord God. And we're just coming up, Lord God, to surrender it to you. Lord, I pray an encouraging word. I pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that you would bless us, that you would place your hand upon us, Lord God, that you would lead us and guide us. God, we are so thankful for this church. We're thankful, Lord, for you, Holy Spirit, that you are here with us today. And we pray, Lord Jesus Christ, for this word to be, this word of encouragement to just dwell deep into our hearts. Deep into our hearts today. If you could, if everybody could just stand with me and stand with your brothers and sisters up here. Man, God has a plan. God has a plan. It's exciting. It is exciting to behold. Hallelujah. If you just comfortable with this, if you just raise your hands up to the Lord, just receive from him this morning. Just receive that encouragement. Just receive all that he has for you today. Father God, you see our hearts. You see the struggles that we have. You see the temptations that we face. You see the doubts that we might have, the fears that we might have. You see, Lord God, that we may be completely focused on what's happening today or tomorrow, and you want us to get focused on you, to trust in you with all of the details. He is the master craftsman. He is the master potter. He is the one who takes care of all of the details, and he produces a work of art, a perfect specimen for his glory, for his glory. And so, Lord, may that encouragement, Lord, I just pray for a spirit of encouragement to fall on our congregation right now. Holy Spirit, come, that word of encouragement, that spirit of encouragement to come. May you solidify your place in our lives, that you're not going to be just something that we squeeze in on Sunday morning or something that we squeeze in before we go to bed at night, but that you, O Lord God, would encompass everything that we are, everything that we do. Lord God, permeate us, Lord Jesus. Like a dried sponge, Lord, we feel so dry, but come and permeate us, Lord God. Fill us up with your spirit. Fill us up, O Lord God, with purpose. Help us to see with new eyes, Lord God, the calling that you have placed upon us to point the way to you, to point the way to Jesus. He has the peace that we need this morning. Amen? He has the faith that we need. He has the encouragement that we need here today. Jesus has everything that we need for life and for godliness, and he has provided through his blood on the cross. And so, Lord, I pray that blood. I pray the blood over our lives. I pray the blood over our hearts and minds. And we just say to doubt and to fear and confusion, no more. Be gone in Jesus' name. You can have no part of us anymore. We will fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. We'll keep our vision on him because you know the end from the beginning. And we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, God, so much for what you have done. We praise you, Lord God. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. Hallelujah. 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 If you would like individual prayer, be a few of us around here up front just to pray over you and pray with you. Otherwise, just linger in his presence for a while. Just linger in his presence. Just soak in everything that you can for his glory. Amen.